Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Anchor Way Church. My name is David Bloom. I'm one of the pastors here at Anchor Way, and I'm glad that you are with us. If you are down in the lobby, which I'm guessing is many of you, go ahead and make your way to the sanctuary. We're going to get started after a few announcements. We have some ways to connect. If you are wondering what's going on in the life of the church, the bulletin is a great resource for that. Grab one of those. You can take notes, but you can also take a look at what is happening. A few things that I want to highlight. We have a men's fellowship coming up. This is May 5th, 6 p.m. here at Anchor Way Church. There is food. There is a time of digging into the Bible. And this is a great way to connect. So this is a monthly men's fellowship. We also have a monthly women's fellowship. And our monthly fellowship is the first Tuesday of the month. So you can go ahead and put that in your calendar. We have a Kickstart to Kindergarten that's put on by Steamboat Christian Academy. It's held at Concordia Lutheran Church, Tuesday, May 5th. And you can call the number on there. You'll probably get Tiffany Dixon. She is the head of school there. And this is to prepare preschoolers transitioning to kindergarten. We also have an Anchor Way Family Night. This is another monthly gathering for young families. And so if you're feeling a little disconnected, a little bit on your own island in that stage of parenting, there's community for you. And so we meet once a month. We share a meal. Meal is provided. Kids go downstairs, play games, do crafts, have fun. And then the parents remain upstairs and they hang out together. They build relationships. They share life. Often we'll have a couple that's a little further along in their journey, and they get to share wisdom with us. And it's been an incredible opportunity. So that is May 12th, Tuesday, May 12th, 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Another thing that I want to highlight is, actually, I'm going to invite Mike Fishbeck up. He has a passion for evangelism, and he wants to share what he is about to restart this summer.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, good morning, church family. So last summer, God put on my heart to start a street ministry where we go downtown Steamboat and just share the good news. We had signs that we had up to kind of draw people into conversation, and it was a huge success last year. Got to share the gospel with a lot of people, got to pray with people there on the street, and just make a presence. Locals were getting to know us and coming by and having conversations, and so I wanted an opportunity this summer to open that up for anyone that might be interested in joining us and seeing what that's like, or even who have that same heart to practice even just sharing your faith or witnessing to people. And so I'll be kind of set up over here in the lobby the next couple Sundays. If you have questions or if you'd like to be a part of that, I'll have an opportunity for you to give us your info, and we'll send out emails with more information on what that's going to look like as we get into the summer. So thank you.
All right, we are going to spend some time in worship this morning. We're going to spend some extended time reflecting and praying with communion. And so if you're still down in the lobby, go ahead and make your way up to the sanctuary. We're going to get started. And I want to pray to prepare our hearts that the Lord would speak to us. So will you pray with me? Father God, I do ask that you do prepare our hearts and our minds to hear from you. In our time of worship, that we would be reminded as we come together and we lift our voices collectively, we would be reminded of the stable and beautiful truths that we need reminding of. So open our hearts to hear from you in worship. And as we open your word, would we be grateful and reminded that you still speak to us, even if we feel like you're distant. Anytime we want, we can open up your word and read what you have spoken, what you have inspired by your Spirit. And so would we prepare our hearts to hear from your word? And would we prepare our hearts for what your Holy Spirit wants to say, to bring conviction where there needs to be conviction, to bring encouragement by your still small voice, that you would help us to understand what you're saying to us in your word. So God, I pray that we hear from you and that we respond with surrender and obedience. We love you, Jesus, and all these things in your name.
To
used to using this microphone. We're going to now spend some time in communion, coming to the table. And this is a heavier Sunday. Many of you know that a dear brother, Ron Nearson, passed last week. And Anchorway got to help put together and lead a service. Pastor Rick hosted a service, and I was able to give a message, and I was honored to do so. And we come to the table now grieving that we lost a brother, but we also are reminded why we have hope. And particularly, the table, communion, represents that hope clearly, explicitly, because it is a reminder of the gospel. It's an opportunity that we get to preach the gospel to ourselves. Ron and Sharon shared at our family night just a little over a week before he passed. And his life, what it exuded, what I heard over and over again, was gratitude, because Ron had his hope not in himself, but in Christ, in Christ's finished work. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Communion causes us to look back to the cross where Jesus gave his body and shed his blood for our sins. It anchors us in the present, reminding us that our hope is not in our circumstances, our strength, or even the length of our days, but firmly in Christ. And it causes us to look ahead. Paul says, until he comes. He's coming back. Because for those in Christ, death does not have the final word. Paul says elsewhere, "We do not grieve as those who have no hope, but in Christ, even death has been transformed. It has lost its power." The poet George Herbert wrote, "Death used to be an executioner, but the gospel has made him just a gardener." And this morning, as we come to the table, we grieve and we hope. So if your faith is in Jesus, come to the table. Not because you're strong, but because he is. Let's take a quiet moment to remember the finished work of Christ and the hope that we have in him. So we will spend a moment, and I'm going to invite you to come to the tables up front. There's also a table in the back. And to take of the elements, to take of the bread, which represents his body broken for us, and to take of the cup, which represents his blood spilled out on our behalf. And take those elements back to your seat and spend some time in prayer, either on your own or together with friends and family. And then we'll close with some worship. We do have gluten-free bread up in the front right here. But I'll just invite you into a time of reflection and communion together.
Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you today for saving us, for paying the penalty for our sin, nailing it to the cross, and giving us new life. Pray today as we talk about what that means after we accept you as Savior and what you want to do in our lives. We pray that you'd open our minds and our hearts to the truth of your word. We'd be receptive, and that we would be different people as we leave here today. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good to see you all. It's great to be here, and I say this often as I age. At my age, it's great to be anywhere, right? It's just kind of be functioning and to be up and around. And I think it was yesterday, my wife rolled over in bed and said, "We're still here. We're still here. We're still here," and thanking God for that. And pray that God would use our time together today to challenge us and to encourage us, maybe convict us about what's going on in our lives right now. We are going to look this morning at a really important subject that maybe you have dabbled in before. The subject is, what's God's will all about? What's God's will all about? Big subject, I think a really important subject. A lot of confusion about it in some areas. A lot of people ask this question, how can I find God's will for my life? Really, that question is the problem. It's really asking the wrong question. Really, you should be asking, what is God's will for my life? What do I know is God's will for my life, for our lives? How does God's will for my life change the way I live? Does it become my experience in life? That's a better place to start. God's will is not a mystery that we're trying to solve. It's not a fill-in-the-blank or a lot of rules and regulations. It's found in a relationship with Jesus where I get to know him and he gets to know me, where you get to know Jesus and he gets to know you, and you develop a relationship. And he challenges us, and he encourages us to be the people that he's called us to be. God is much more concerned about who I am as a person in my relationship with him than he is about where I live, or about what kind of a house I have, or what kind of a job I have, or what kind of a car I drive, or even who I marry. And I know that's shocking to some of you to even say that. There's only one biblical qualification for me as a believer getting married, and that is that the person that I'm going to marry is what? A believer, okay? Then it's a matter of making a good choice, right? I think I made a good choice, okay? I have an awesome wife who has put up with me for 59 years this November. Can you imagine? What a challenge. What a challenge. She needs some kind of a medal or something, or a crown. There are two places in the Bible. Of course, the Bible is filled with how God wants us to live, commandments and challenges in our lives. But there's two specific verses that I want to draw our attention to in 1 Thessalonians that specifically say, this is God's will for you. This is God's will for you. And so if you came today and you say, I want to find out what God's will, this is a great Sunday to come because we're going to tell you what God's will is for your life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, and then 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 6, 16 through 18. This is one of those verses that you need to underline and put an asterisk by and use that yellow stuff on it just to get you to take attention to it. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. Now, if you're looking for God's will, and the Bible says this is God's will that you be sanctified, you better understand what sanctification is all about, and that's where we're really heading today, okay? That's where we're heading. It is God's will that we be sanctified. And then over in chapter 5, just a page over in my Bible, in verses 16 through 18, it says this, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all things or in all circumstances, for this is what? God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Be sanctified, be joyful, be prayerful, and be thankful. Let's close in prayer. That's God's will for you. We're not closing in prayer. Sanctification, that's what we're going to talk about today. This process of change. Just to say that, you know, we don't like change, right? We like things just the way they are. But the Christian life is a process of change. Really a lifelong process. By which God becomes in very practical and personal ways the Lord of our life. God's will is not just for our salvation, to get us into heaven. That's the start, but it's for our sanctification. He wants to change us. And as we allow him to have access to every area of our life, he changes us. 2 Corinthians 5:17, very familiar to many of you. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's what? A new creation, a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. It's a new ball game. David mentioned this last week from Romans chapter 6. It's a great verse. In verse 4, it says this, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. That's where you and I are at today if you're a believer. Notice we're to be in this process of change, continual process of change. When I got saved, God changed my relationship with him, okay? I was separated from him. When I got saved, I could be next to him, dressed in the righteousness of Christ. He took my sin away. But he just began the process of changing my life, the way that I live. That's where we're at today, if you're a believer today. Does that make sense to you? That we got saved, and now we're in this process of sanctification. That's God's will for you, is that you be changed. I think of it this way. I was saved when I was 9 years old. I had no idea what sanctification was at 9 years old. I just was glad I was saved. I was saved from the penalty of sin, separation from God. I then began this lifelong process of being saved from the power of sin. So I was saved from the penalty of sin, and right now I'm being saved from the power of sin by the power of the Holy Spirit who now lives in me. And if you're a believer today, he lives in you. Then one day I will be saved from the presence of sin. So I'm saved from the penalty of sin. I'm in the process of being saved from the power of sin. And one day I'll be saved from the presence of sin. We don't even know what that is going to be like, as far, to be not around sin, to not have a sin nature. We have no clue on that. David mentioned Ron's service yesterday. Ron today is in a place that is free from sin, and we should be excited about that for him. We sorrow not as has those who have no hope. We believe that the Bible tells us the truth about what happens when somebody dies. So saved from the penalty, saved from the power, and one day saved from the presence of sin. But today I'm in this process of sanctification. God taking possession of my life. God's will is that we be saved and eventually go to be with heaven. But right now his will is that I be changed. I become a different person. That song we just sang, where it said, I don't even recognize myself now from what I used to be before. Boy, I wish that was true in my life. God's will is to be changed. That we live differently than the world. The world, I define it as those who get their direction from something and they get their marching orders from something other than this book. That is the world. We are not better than the world. We are called to be different than the world. That brings us to the question today. How do I know that I'm within God's will? How do I know it? How do I know I've given God permission to enter every area of my life and clean house? You say, Lord, your will be done, not mine. The answer is very simple. My life is changing. My life is changing. It's different. The Bible calls it holy, separate. Let me ask you a personal question today. How has God changed your life in the past year? How has God changed your life in the past year? After you have allowed God access to your life, he's identified areas that need changing. What changes have taken place? Do you realize that there are those of us, and I put myself in this category, that for year after year after year after year, we just don't change? There's no change. Never change at all. You know what that's saying? Nothing needs changing. I'm okay. I'm good. You know what it's really saying? I'm not within God's will. Because when we are within God's will, we have to change. There's things that need to be changed. Paul's letter to the Romans, in Romans chapter 12, he says, I beg you guys, I beg you to give your lives to God as a living sacrifice, so that you can prove what his will is, that which is good and acceptable and pleasing. You know, I'm not much into tattoos, but if I ever get a tattoo, I'm going to get a tattoo that says PJ, not pajamas, PJ, please Jesus. So I see that, oh, Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 5:9, he says this, that our ambition in life as believers should be to please him. PJ, please Jesus. I'm looking at my daughter, and I used to say to Jody when the kids were growing up, I used to say, remember who you are. Remember who you are. And I tell my grandkids, remember who you are. And you know what they did? They had tattoos, remember who you are. I'm like, oh, okay, I got to. It's okay. It's okay. Christian life is a process of change. I got saved. There were things that needed changing in my life. And guess what? There still are. There still are things in my life that need changing. He continues to change me. Sometimes it takes a long time, doesn't it? We're pretty stubborn. We have to learn the hard way a lot of times that God was right. Christian life is a process of change. That's his will. Look at 1 Peter 4. I'm going to throw it. Josh is going to throw it up on the screen here. 1 Peter 4 has an excellent passage of scripture about God's will, about our lives now as believers. It says this, so then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourself with the same attitude that he had and be ready to suffer too. For if you're willing to suffer for Christ, you've decided to stop sinning. It's an interesting line, isn't it? You don't want to spend the rest of your life chasing after evil desires, but you will be anxious to what? Do the will of God. It's a decision. You've had enough of the past evil things that godless people enjoy. Have you had enough? Nah, I think I'll just continue a little bit longer. Their immorality, their lust, their feasting, their drunkenness, their wild parties, the temple worship of idols. Of course, your former friends are surprised when you don't join them in the wicked things that they do. And they say evil things about you. But just remember, they will have to face God, who will judge everyone, both the living and the dead. Listen to what God is saying to us today. Getting saved is a one-time decision where I personally ask for forgiveness for my sin and I personally accept what Christ did on the cross. Living in God's will is a daily allowing God to have access to every area of our lives and identifying areas of my life that are in opposition to his purposes, his plan, and then drawing on his power to save, to change. Jesus said it this way in Luke 9:23, if anyone wants to be my disciple, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. What does that mean? I think it means if I seriously want to follow Christ and I'm made aware of something in my life that is in opposition to his will, that it's got to go. It's got to go. It's got to die. No questions. He's right. I'm wrong. How does this work practically in our lives? I mean, it's easy to say this, right? It's easy to say, I know this needs a change, but how do you change it? How do you operate within God's will? First, I believe God's will is possession permitted. God, I give you permission to take hold of my life. God, I desire for you to take the leadership role in every area of my life. And if we don't start here, we're never going to know what it is to walk and live in God's will. Then what do I do? I've said, okay, God, you can have access to my life. The second part of knowing God's will is there's a principle perceived. Okay? Possession permitted, and there's a principle perceived. What is the principle? What is that all about? There's a principle that enables us to do God's will, please Him. And that principle is faith, okay? And if you've been around me at all, you understand that I believe faith operates with three elements, and all three of them have to be a part of it if I'm going to be faithful, if I'm going to walk in faith. We've been given God the key to every room of our life. We've given Him the authority to go over wherever He wants and tell us whatever He wants to tell us. We're giving Him the passwords to all our devices. I hate passwords. We give Him that authority in our life. Let me just stop here for a minute. This is not just an inspection of morality, because I think some of us say, well, I got that figured out. I got that taken care of. This is not just what you don't do. This is what you do with what God has given you and God has given me. So it's an inspection. It's a faithful inspection. It's a legalism inspection. This is an attitude inspection, a generosity inspection. This is a love inspection. This is a forgiveness inspection. Think there might be some issues that are uncovered if we give God access to every area of our life and He shines a flashlight on it? Of course there is. That's why this is a process. So after inspection, the faith principle must kick in. Okay, we've given God permission to come in our life and check it out, inspect it. But then this principle is perceived. So after the inspection, the faith principle must kick in to continue to know God's will, to experience it. And you remember how faith works, right? Three parts. I hear what God's saying. I hear, that's the first thing. God tells me after His inspection. Second thing is we believe He knows what He's talking about. And then thirdly, we do what needs to be done. And when that happens, faith is operating. Okay? I hear, I believe, and I do what needs to be done. That's faith. The Bible says that the righteous will live by faith. That's how they live. Hearing what God says, believing what He says is true, and then doing what He's asking us to do. So where are we? The will of God for all of us is not only possession permitted and principle perceived, but it's visibly evidenced by purity practiced. The word pure does not mean somebody who's never been exposed to evil. It means literally the purged heart. We need our hearts purged. Those who have been cleansed. Those who know grace and those who know forgiveness. How do I know that I'm within God's will? My life changes. Things change. I want to look at two portions of Scripture, one in Ephesians chapter 4 and one in Ephesians chapter 5. And I think you have those, Josh, on the screen, don't you? I hope you do. Ephesians, if you don't, and you can turn there in your Bible, Ephesians 4, starting in verse 17. And I don't know, maybe a title in your Bible says, in your former manner of life, you know, the way you used to live. So I tell you this, verse 17 of chapter 4 of Ephesians. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality as to indulge in every kind of impurity and continually lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. And here's verse 22, important verse. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in the true righteousness and holiness. And then over in chapter 5, verse 15, where it says this, be careful then how you live, not as the unwise, but as the wise, making the most of every opportunity. Be careful, because the days are evil. In verse 17, therefore don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to the God, the Father, for everything. In name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of God is. What is the will of God? Possession permitted, principle perceived, faith, hear what he says, believe it and do it by the power that we're given to do it, and then practice, purity practice, changed life. I wonder if there's those of you who would say today, I want God's will in my life. I want to come him to come into every room, every drawer, every closet, and I want to listen to what he says about what he finds. And then I want to, by faith, do whatever he says needs to be done by the power of the Spirit that lives within us. I want God to change my life. I don't want to be foolish, but I want to understand what God's will is for me. Because I know that God's will for my life is the best for my life. I always say that God wants to do two specific things in our lives as we yield ourselves to him. He wants to provide the best and protect us from the worst. And when we really believe that, when we say, Lord, I really believe that you want the best for me. You don't want to make me, you know, lock me up in some kind of a way that I can't function. You want me to be free, and we're free when we trust him and allow him to live through our lives. I know that God's will for my life is the best for my life, and I pray that you would agree with that today and that you would desire that in your heart and your life. Let's pray. Jesus, you know us. You know us better than we know ourselves. You know what we need. And I pray today that we would allow you to have access to every area of our lives, to identify attitudes and actions and lack of actions, habits, addictions that need to change, to die. Lord Jesus, so that your will would be done, and that your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. And we'll thank you for those changes, for our good, for your glory, and for the blessing of those that we rub shoulders with. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Would you stand with me? I want to read a couple verses here in closing from Romans. We mentioned this. I love this portion of Scripture. Romans 12, 1 and 2, where Paul says, I urge you. Really, he says, I'm begging you by the mercies of God to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. This is how we worship. We worship by allowing God to change our lives. Don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. May that be our heart's desire today, that we would allow him to have access to our life and that we would walk in his will. May that go with you today as you leave. God bless you and good to be with you today.